Warrington, Ohio. Used to be in London, just moved a couple of weeks ago. London, Ohio. He asks, give him a breakout player on both sides of the ball for Ohio State.
If you're talking about on the offense first, you obviously got to go with Jaden Ballard. He's the hot name right now at the wide receiver position. He's getting a lot of first-team reps with Emeka Ebuka and Julian Fleming been out for the spring due to injuries. I said yes a couple of days ago to my Twitter followers, if Ohio State trusts Jaden Ballard to go out there and run routes for C.J. Stroud during his pro day, that tells me that kid is ready for takeoff. When you have millions of dollars at stake, 128 NFL personnel there, you're not going to throw a kid out there who's not ready to take his game to the next level. So I think he's the one. On defense, you know, we've talked about Sonny Styles several other times, Bill, but I'll give you a new name here. I think Kenyatta Jackson, defensive end out of Florida, came in a little undersized. He is a premier pass rusher. He's put up 12 to 15 pounds this offseason from when he arrived. So I think he is a name, a younger guy to keep your eye on, a defensive end who has an elite first step, tremendous get off the football. I think he brings another element to the defense that they're missing.
Another one from Josh from earlier. He hears us talking about Brock Bowers, who obviously at Georgia has just been incredible. He's from Napa Valley, and he'll be a top 10 pick next year, maybe even better than that. But so he gets tired of me talking about it. So he brings up Cade Stover, who's a good player. The problem with Cade Stover is you're playing on a Buckeye team where you have at least three receivers who are a priority. You've got three running backs, including the Hayden kid, who's a priority. In basketball terms, whose shots you going to take away, right?
Right. He's not going to take very many. And the year that Cade Stover had this year was probably – one of the best years for a tight end at Ohio State since Ricky Dudley, the years when John Cooper was there. Ohio State traditionally do not use the tight end. They usually use those guys as inline blockers. But the year that Cade Stover had was probably the best year since the 90s. Can he parlay that into another good year? I think he can. But to try to compare him to Bowers, that's just not fair. They're two totally different tight ends. If you can replicate the same season that Cade Stover had this past year, I will call that a success.
Had a question, Kirkland down in Middle Georgia earlier. He said, rank the top four if you could today, and I think three are easy, Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State. After that, I think there's a debate. Brand-wise, Jay Book, you'd want to put Alabama there, but they've got a transition from Bryce Young. And whoever it is, it'll be a good quarterback, Ty Simpson. But they didn't have any dudes on their defensive front. Who would you put in the four slot if you had to today?
If I had to today, I would probably go with USC. You got the returning Heisman quarterback coming back. Obviously, when you're talking about Lincoln Riley, it's going to be question marks surrounding that defense. I know Alex Grinch and Ohio State fans are very familiar with Alex Grinch with his time there. He hasn't shown to be able to be an elite defensive play caller. I mean, at Oklahoma, they were sporadic up and down on that side of the football. But I would still say, hey, when you got Caleb Williams, you're going to win a lot of football games. So I would throw USC in there. And then Alabama, regardless of what you're looking at as far as who's replacing who, it's Alabama. They're going to have a loaded roster. They have four and five stars littered in two and three deep. It's just a matter of younger guys getting their opportunity to shine. And there's no doubt in my mind Nick Saban will have some of those highly regarded All-Americans ready to play once the football kicks off.
614 Rob up in Ohio asked Jay Book if there's anything new going on with the Ohio State collectives.
I haven't heard anything recently. I know they did collaborate with the old foundation, so two collectives joined forces. They do have, I take that back, they actually do have a major spring event where a lot of the coaches are going to be there. Ryan Day, the basketball coach, is going to be there. A lot of the star players are going to be there. It's a high profile event. I think it's like a $10,000 a plate type of dinner. So they're hoping to raise funds there. If they can, from what I've been hearing, the ticket sales for that have been going extremely well. They're looking to potentially bring in a headliner act as far as entertainment. So if they can pull that off, I think they would be pretty well on their way for the next recruiting cycle with filling up those coffers for the next incoming wave of recruits.
Jay Book with us. There was an article, Jay Book, and I don't remember which one, you may, and it said the following. When the Big Ten was considering, clandestinely, obviously, to bring in Southern Cal, et cetera, the team they wanted was Oregon. And then Fox stepped in and said, no, you're taking the rest of Los Angeles, you're bringing to UCLA, and that was the end of it. So they brought him in. Did you see that? Do you believe that to be accurate?
I did see that, and I do believe it. When you look at the Big Ten, at the end of the day, they were trying to upgrade football. They're trying to catch the SEC. They were trying to match what the SEC was able to pull off with Oklahoma and Texas. You look at the Pac-12, what are the two major football brands out there? It's going to be USC, and it's going to be Oregon. Now, when you start crunching the numbers, start crunching the data, Fox is going to drive this because at the end of the day, they're going to broker those deals with the schools. They're going to go ahead and collaborate with CBS and the other entities to make sure that everybody gets a cut of the pie here. And when they ran their numbers, they determined that, hey, you're going to have an issue with the California system because UCLA is going to want to come along with USC. So bring them along. Let's capture the market in L.A. When you look at the numbers, the data, everything was pointing that adding Oregon wouldn't add to the pie. It would take away from what they were projecting. So I think I truly believe Fox made their call and say, hey, we want to go ahead and get a monopoly in the L.A. market.
Also here on Twitter, anything new with the commissioner search?
Nothing new. Haven't heard anything in regards to that. And it's kind of odd that there really hasn't been anything leaked out, potential names. I know Gene Smith several months ago said he wasn't interested, but nothing new on that front.
Now, somebody, it might have been Tom in Myrtle Beach, who's a big Buckeye fan, somebody said that there's some talk that maybe George Klavikoff, obviously, Jay Book, he'd crawl on his belly through glass to get out of that thing he's in right now to go to the Big Ten, but have you heard anything other than that, though, that he'd be a candidate?
I haven't. I mean, if you're the Big Ten, there's no way you would take that guy. He hasn't shown anything to warrant being able to drive the ship of the Big Ten when they're trying to go neck to neck with the SEC. So I haven't heard anything about that.
Well, the only thing that would be, and quite frankly, he walked into this mess, but I guess a worse would be if somebody floated Larry Scott in on it, right? I mean, that would be worse.
Oh, my goodness. that would be worse. I mean, you can blame a lot of the problems on Larry Scott on the Pac-12. I mean, I still say to this day, him not getting the deal done with DirecTV was really the major domino that impacted the Pac-12 in a negative light. You got to get them on. You got to get them on primetime games. I did hear though that Fox wasn't interested in the Pac-12. I heard that the other day. So that right there is going to pretty much limit their suitors. ESPN, if they're going to get an ESPN deal, I can guarantee you ESPN is probably going to lowball them.
So Jaden Daniels was out there playing before he was at LSU, so you got to see him. Were you pleasantly pleased, or is his development this last year, the way he played, and he was gimpy for a while, but the way they developed with him, was that a surprise to you?
It was a surprise. I thought he was outstanding at LSU. I thought Brian Kelly and that staff did a heck of a job getting him to play at an elite level. I didn't think he had it in him coming from ASU. I know his freshman year early on, he played really well. Then he took major steps back, decided to transfer. I thought he was just going to be a guy at LSU. The way he played, he's shown that if he can continue that climb, LSU has the potential to be really a thorn in the side of Alabama and the rest of those SEC West teams. So, yeah, I think he had a great year if he can stay healthy, and if we can continue to parlay that into an outstanding offseason, continue to progress, he has the potential to make some noise out there.
My prediction has been this, Jay Book. I think the Pac-12 will get a deal. It'll be decent. It'll be $25 million, maybe a team. So it's better than nothing. It's certainly not what everybody wants. Don't know if we can get Washington and Oregon to sign a grant of rights, but they'll get a deal, and the conversation about teams fleeing won't leave, but it'll simmer down some. Now, that's what I think. I wouldn't bet much on it, right? Is there anything new with Arizona, Arizona State, and the Big 12, and that idea that stays floating out there?
Well, it's interesting because the Arizona AD and president, those guys are pretty vocal about what's going on.
Right.
From the talks, it sounds like they're going to be sticking with the Pac-12. They feel really good about where the conversations are going. I think you hit it on the head when you said they're not going to get a deal compared to what the other major conferences are going to get. It's going to be a low offer. I think for now, things are probably going to simmer down. They're going to get some type of contract in place. It's not going to be anywhere close to the SEC or the Big Ten. Keep in mind, the Big Ten's deal will be coming up very soon again. And if you look at the numbers now, they're projecting, what, $80 million, to maybe up towards $100 million. If you're looking at, if you're the Pac-12 and you're saying, hey, we're only getting, you know, 25 cents on the dollar compared to the Big Ten for this deal, what's it going to look like once the Big Ten goes up for renegotiation again? At that point, that's where I can see where a lot of these Pac-12 schools, including Washington and Oregon, said, all right, we stuck it out for these last 4 to 5 years. We can't continue to compete with the Big Ten and the SEC with us getting 20 cents, 25 cents from the dollar compared to what they're getting out there on the market.
Alec Whipple Bob's a big Penn State fan, but he asked, say, Jay Book, why doesn't the Big Ten pursue Florida State and Clemson?
That's a great question. I mean, you look at the academics. I know we always talk about football. Being an AAU charter member is a big deal when you're talking about the Big Ten academic elites. They do want to have someone who's going to be able to fit into that particular mold. That's why I believe Miami will probably be a better fit in the Big Ten than, say, Florida State and Clemson. And the same thing with Clemson as Oregon. Great football facilities, great football team and tradition. However, will they add to the value of the Big Ten as far as TV revenue? I don't think Clemson, South Carolina is going to be able to produce enough eyeballs for Fox to say, hey, this warrants us adding Clemson to the pie because just because they're good at football. So I do think there's several other factors that go into play. Academics and being an AAU charter member is also very important to the Big Ten.
Boy, I tell you what, but what about this as like a fake out? I mean, I know there's a lot of smart people in every room, right? But what if it got floated, or the Big Ten floated, if they were targeting Florida State and Clemson? Would that force the SEC to do something?
I think so. But the question, you tell me, would Florida be open to Florida State coming over? Because you got that bad blood and that rivalry. It's going to take the votes to get them over there. Would Florida want Florida State to come on over? If the Big Ten did do a stakeout to put a little pressure on them, then the question has to be asked, can Florida State and Clemson even afford that buyout to get out of that grant rights in the ACC? I know some smart attorneys out there would probably believe they could. They could probably negotiate a lower settlement. But I don't know if Clemson and Florida State has the juice to be able to pay that buyout and at the same time probably take a smaller cut until for several years. But it's an interesting theory, I tell you. But I just think for the most part, you're probably going to see these conferences set where they're at right now. If the Pac-12 can get a small deal done, I think that will keep some of the smaller schools together. I do believe, though, that you're probably going to see one of the San Diego schools and SMU heading over to the Pac-12 very soon. I don't think that really moves the deal much, but it's just kind of the Pac-12 way of trying to appease the rest of the schools there to say, hey, we're in this together. Look, we're trying to make moves to bring other markets into the fold.
My oldest son, who's in dental school at Louisville, went on spring break to Phoenix to play golf. And, Jay Bookie, just wanted you to know the golf courses are pretty nice out there. You probably already know that.
They are nice. they're very nice out here, Bill. I mean, you can turn the corner, and within 1 mile, you're probably going to find 2 to 3 different golf courses all over the valley. So golfing out here, that's a big thing. There's a reason why the NFL consistently has their owners meetings out here, as well as the NCAA athletic directors consistently having their meetings out here. It's a great golf destination.
Jay Book, see you next time, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
There he is. Jay Book is fantastic. So good, man. We'll take the break. Omni Nashville Hotel.